Support for Millennial comes from Blue Apron. I don't know about you, but I like good food. The problem is, during my work week, I don't have a lot of time to make stellar dinners. But Blue Apron can solve all of my routine grocery shopping, wanting to make better food for myself during a busy work week problems. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron will deliver pre-proportioned ingredients to make good meals. And you get to choose the meals you want to make. Recently, Ben and I made some lemon caper catfish with lentils and collard greens. If you want to get fancy at home with your cooking, you should try this. Each meal comes with an easy-to-follow recipe for a dinner that will take less than 40 minutes. To see if this is up your alley, check out the upcoming meals. We got pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apples, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips, and spicy shrimp curry with cabbage and rice. Get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/millennial, 2 L's, 2 N's. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Support for Millennial is provided by Squarespace. Squarespace wants to help you make your next move this year by giving you the tools you need to showcase yourself to the world. Show people what you're doing or what you want to be doing by creating a beautiful website or online store with an award-winning, easy-to-use drag-and-drop template. And if you're having trouble, not only does Squarespace have tutorial videos, but they also have 24/7 customer support. Go to squarespace.com for your free trial and enter offer code MILLENNIAL, 2 L's, 2 N's, to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Make your next move. Make your next website. When are you going to talk to him about selling the house?
I'm in the car with my mom visiting my hometown, Columbus, Ohio, and I decide to address the elephant in the room.
When I get legal advice, I got to get legal advice about our relationship, how to deal with that, and the house. The house is the only thing that we really have that we co-own.
42 years with my father, and it's come down to the house and the things inside of it. In many ways, this is the only thing that's holding them together.
I have talked to him about getting stuff out of there. And this is the only time that you're home, and we have to make time for it to get your stuff so I know what to throw away of your stuff, what to keep.
What? How long do you think it'll take?
I said you need to have a 4-hour block.
I haven't lived in my childhood home since high school, about 8 years ago. So it feels like it shouldn't be a big deal. Except that it's more than just a house. When I was little, I thought my family would live in my childhood home forever. I have memories of us in the front lawn when my sister and I would play low-key baseball with this big plastic bat and with neighborhood kids during the summer. I also have memories sitting on the front porch with my mom, watching thunderstorms roll in and counting the seconds between the lightning and the thunder. And in the kitchen, where my father would cook the Chinese food that he grew up with for our family. This is the only home we've ever known. It's where we've all grown up. But now we have to say goodbye. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age. This episode is about saying goodbye to your childhood home, and with it, your past.
Here, pull your screen down a little bit like this so I can see your face. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. You look really pretty and rested.
Oh, thanks.
You don't have bags?
I don't have any bags under my eyes.
I'm talking to my mom on Skype. She's lived in my childhood home for 42 years, and she knows what it was like, BM, before Megan.
When did you guys decide to move into the house?
We didn't decide. Your father was already there. I married him and the house.
What? He just came with the house?
The house came with him.
My mom and dad met at a Buddhist meeting, if you can believe that. She was 25, he was 28. They met and talked, and then my dad asked her out.
He was really easy to talk to, and he would tell me all about Singapore and, you know, all the things that he did as a kid. And, you know, it was just like really exciting to hear all these stories.
My mom and dad come from two different worlds. My dad is from Singapore. He was the first person in his family to come to the U.S. to study. And when he got here, he told me he didn't know anyone, didn't have any money, and had to figure it out. And he did. He's a pretty private person and has never been too open with his emotions. The way he says, "I love you," is by giving me bags of groceries and making me sweet and sour noodles for lunch. His voice won't be in this episode because he doesn't feel comfortable with me recording our conversations. I respect him, so I didn't.
Did you guys go out dancing a lot?
We did.
My mother comes from the suburbs of Cleveland. She's the eldest of two, loud, gregarious, and she can make best friends with someone standing in line at Whole Foods. She's fond of talking to strangers. In fact, she's just fond of talking. The way she says, "I love you," is with her words and her hugs. When my parents moved in together, I'm not sure they understood each other's language of love, but I guess that would reveal itself over time.
Well, I remember your father would come home and he'd put his arms around me while I was washing dishes. And he'd hug. You know, it was really nice.
After 7 months of dating, they got married and they merged their lives together under one roof, the roof of an old Victorian home. It's about 2,700 square feet with 12-foot tall ceilings, original hardwood floors, a front yard, a backyard.
I romanticized happy families from books that I read of that era, which were Pollyanna, Little Women, Little Men. You know, that was my dream to have this budding marriage, house, family.
It had a back stairways, which was always cool. Like, you know, who grows up with a back stairways?
That's my older sister, Crystal.
There's little quirks in that house. I had that little special, like, you know, hidden floorboard where you can move, and you kept all your treasures in there.
And I loved sliding down banisters.
And this house had a banister?
It had a banister, but honestly, I never slid down it.
For the first 7 years, it was just my parents and this house. And then they had my sister. She's 10 years older than me.
I think a lot of people called our place home. It wasn't just me. Mom and Dad, you know, they were always very open and, you know, talked to a lot of people. And just sitting in the kitchen around the drafting table, Mom cooking food and Dad cooking food, and was home.
You know, I became that person to welcome people. All of that was grounded on this desire to have a happy home, to have a happy family. But your father was, you know, underneath it all, I don't think he recognized that as being as important.
My mother and father's relationship started to change. While my sister was growing up, they started to fight. They had big fights, where names were called and things were thrown. The kinds of fights that never really get resolved. By the time I was born and I was growing up, their relationship had drifted further apart.
I flipped it through my mind back and forth and back and forth all the time about whether or not he loved me. Why did he marry me? Why wasn't there a sustainability in the relationship?
When we did things as a family, like take trips to Colorado or Canada, My dad didn't always come with us.
Before that, I was like always doing things with him. And the reason was that I didn't want to separate from him. But then if I just did things and followed him, then I didn't cultivate my own sense of identity.
As I got older, nothing really changed. They went to counseling, but it didn't help.
I would facilitate in my mind things to do, directions and ways to go, figuring out, you know, like we could be happy if we did this or if I did this or if we worked together on this or whatever. But it would never play out the way I wanted it to, no matter how hard I would put in that effort. Then there comes a point where you say, okay, this is not working.
Dad made sure that the mortgage was paid and that he kept up with the house. Mom made sure there was love in the house. But when Mom left, you know, you lose something.
About 6 years ago, my mom moved out of the house. It was the first time she had lived on her own in 36 years, and she was learning to pay the bills and live independently. But she and my dad hadn't cut ties. They would still have dinners together. And in a way, it almost felt like they were dating again. Eventually, my mom moved back into the house. And for a while, it seemed like things were okay. But the fights picked back up. And eventually, she moved out again.
I did not want this outcome. This is not the outcome that I perceived. But it's the outcome that was best for my physical, psychological survival and for his.
Here we are. And here is 3E as in Edward.
Nice! Yay!
Oh, this is just the beginning. I haven't showed you all the rooms.
Oh, yeah. Show me all the rooms.
Okay.
For the last few years, my parents have been in this weird limbo. They're not together, but they're not divorced. They sometimes go out to dinner, but they don't sleep in the same bed. Even though my mom lives separately in her one-bedroom apartment, my dad is still in the house. It sort of feels like my mom could move back in at any moment, and things could go back to normal. At least that's what I like to think, hundreds of miles away in Maine. But now, when I'm home, my mom is talking about selling the house. First, she says we need to go through our stuff. Then we need to start downsizing. My mom still has a key, and even though it's not where she sleeps, she walks in like she's still living there, too.
So you want to go through this stuff?
Yeah, I need to go through.
All right, so where are we starting? What are we doing?
When we walk in, I'm reminded of the pieces of our past that have been kept safe in these walls for years.
Oh, my Beanie Babies!
Oh, yeah.
Woohoo! More papers.
Oh, and these are all your...
Yeah, my grade reports.
Oh, you should hold on to those.
Why? Just in case I wanted to know if I was an O student back in the third grade.
I can tell it's easier for me to throw things away than it is for my mom to watch me do it. There are parts of her family that she still wants to hang on to.
Mm-hmm. This was so cute. The best baby blanket. Look at this.
What does it say? Now I lay
me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep.
It's weird how, like, you know, pieces of you that meant so much at that time, like, don't mean that much anymore.
Just as I say that, I pick up a card with every picture taken of me in grade school.
Yeah, I love this. Can I have it?
Sure. Are you sure you want this one?
Yeah.
Because you're not, I don't want you to keep thinking of me as like this little girl.
Well, why not?
Because I don't know if that's healthy for our relationship.
Oh my God. Yeah. Hi, Dad.
Hey, we're going through this stuff.
My dad comes home. As we continue cleaning, he puts around the house. There's no fighting, No scenes. It's nice. For a minute, it feels like they're friends, and their relationship is better than it's ever been.
You know, it's not like I'm going back with your father again. Although he did ask me. It was very sweet of him.
He did ask you what?
To move back in to the house.
What did you say?
I said, no, I'm not doing that. I was prompted by Crystal to ask me.
So Crystal still wants to see you guys together?
Yeah.
Eventually, my mom sits down with my father and talks to him about selling the house. I don't know what those conversations are like because I'm far away in Maine, trying not to think about it. But my sister, she's there, right in the thick of it. And I'm about to find out how hard that is. But first, a short break. Support for Millennial comes from Lyft. After a late night out dancing with friends, I'm usually tired and sweaty, and I don't feel like walking home. So I pull out my phone and catch a ride. With Lyft, it's easy to be driven somewhere, and it's easy to become a driver. As a driver, you can pick your own hours, work when you want, and you can work with a company that believes in treating its people better. How do they do that? Lyft offers in-app tipping, and 100% of the tips are yours. They also use Express Pay, where you can get paid almost instantly. There also isn't any guesswork when it comes to picking up passengers because they use a new device that uses color coding to help passengers find their drivers. You can earn hundreds of dollars a week plus tips. And if you want to make more money, you can drive more. You're the one in control of giving yourself a raise. For Lyft, it's a simple formula. Happy drivers mean happy passengers. Join the ride-sharing app that believes in treating its people better. Go to lyft.com/millennial today, and you can get a $500 new driver bonus. Again, that's Lyft, lyft.com/millennial. Limited time only, and terms apply.
They could rent it. I feel like this is the best solution.
Yeah, no, I understand. I hear what you're saying.
My parents are still in the beginning stages of selling our childhood home. After 42 years of marriage, they agree that this is the best financial and emotional decision for the both of them. But to me, 900 miles away, the whole thing feels abstract. But for my sister, it feels very real.
I asked her, I was like, can you ask the realtor how much she can get for rent? And she won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was going to, but she never did.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit of sweat equity,
mm-hmm.
or sweat and tears maybe, but I mean, like, if we could do it as a team, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And it would also, like, bring us all together. I would love to, like, go on family vacations again.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
The idea of renting our childhood home feels nice. But when Crystal mentions this idea of us taking family vacations together again, I wonder what else she has in mind.
So I understand where Crystal is coming from, okay?
Right.
I agree with Crystal's idea. I think it's very interesting. An ideal situation would be Dad gets taken out of the house, he goes someplace, and over the summer, Ben and I and Crystal and Jared and you, we like clean out the house together, we fix it up, Ben and I will be there for a week or something, and then in the fall, there's like a group of kids who want to stay there, and then it becomes like a passive form of income for you, so that you don't ever feel like you don't have an income. And I guess I just want to understand what you don't like about that idea and, like, why are you so put off by it?
First of all, Kristen's options are good.
she has presented all of this to me, and she's presented it several times, and I've thought about it, Maggie.
Yeah.
And I've given it consideration.
Uh-huh. Yeah, how do you feel?
My feelings is this. For me, I mean, because emotionally, your father and I can say, you know, like our emotional relationship is not there the same as it was. You know, I've been talking to Crystal with this, and it's like, you know, you can't see it. She can't see it because she's 35 years old, and what does she want? What does your father want? What do I want? We don't want that.
You know what that
is? No, I'm just letting you know what the future is.
All right. I'm saying there are lots of options for the future.
Megan, I'm only saying I don't have time to keep saying it over and over and over again and telling her, Crystal, no, it cannot work this time. It cannot work. It is not the viable choice.
All right. Good talk. Good talk? Was it a good talk? I think we got to
get
better.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, at least you understand. I mean, I've been trying, but I don't want to step on your feet in Maine where you're going with things. But I'm glad you, because I bring up stuff like this to you and you don't particularly want to hear about it all the time.
Because I don't, I don't. You're right. I don't want to hear about it. It's a lot easier to be detached because this does take a lot of energy. It does. And
well,
I understand.
It's taking an incredible amount of energy for me, and I hope you understand and realize that.
Mom, I got to go. I'm lost. I got to go. I hear you. We'll keep talking. All right. Love you. Bye.
Love you, too. Bye.
In Maine, it's easy for me to hang up the phone, to cop out of my family's disagreements because there's distance between us. I'm not saying that I'm proud that I'm not by my family's side as they sell this house. I want to be there. I want to support my mom because I can tell she really needs this. And I want to support my sister, who is having to bear the emotional weight of all this change.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Crystal. So, like, when you envision, you know, like this suggestion with, like, multiple options for mom and dad, do you take into account that mom may not necessarily want to be physically with dad? You know
mom
what I mean?
Mom doesn't even have to be with dad. It is, like, obviously she can go anywhere. That's the whole key. Like, mom is very mobile.
Like, if mom romantically wants to be with someone else, is that, have you taken that into account?
Then she should get a divorce.
Uh-huh. And then what happens to the house?
I don't know. That's, like, you sell the house, I guess.
And then that.
Or you have an open marriage. I don't know. I mean, they're not together anyway. If she wants to be romantically involved but doesn't want to get married, then fine. Everyone, there's so many people out there that have open marriages now.
Mm-hmm.
If they could just work on their good qualities together and compromise.
I don't know if they're going to stay. I don't know if they're going to be together, Chris.
I know.
I wonder about that myself. You know, if that is the life that she wants to live. But I'm not sure. I don't know. Right?
I mean, it's just... I don't know.
The plans to sell the house move forward. For months, my mother and father, and yes, even my sister, clean out the house, sell most of the furniture, repaint the walls, and get it ready for the market.
It was hard. You know, I just helped mom and dad clear out everything and made sure that they were able to move into, you know, I guess move forward.
When did you realize, or when did you come to accept that you had to help them do the thing that they wanted to do?
I mean, regardless, I'm always going to be there for them. They've always been there for me. So, yeah, I'm always going to help them out.
Okay, this is the foyer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Yes, there's been wonderful things that have been added. The bookcase over here, your father put for, you know, shoes and things right off the foyer.
Before they sell the house, I come by and say goodbye one last time. As I walk around, I can hardly tell that we used to live here. The wallpaper with the flowers is no longer on the walls of my bedroom. Everything is painted a muted color. The floors are clean, shiny, and bare in a way I've never seen them before. I didn't expect the end to look so beautiful and empty. Oh, this is weird.
Nothing in here.
I know. It's weird.
I know. Hmm. You're crying. Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. I've just had more time to be away from it than you guys, but sometime along the line, it's going to hit me.
Yeah. You're just in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful house. I mean, I really feel like, and it was such, it was a wonderful place to live, grow up.
You can still see some of the wallpaper here.
Is it in there?
Yeah, you can see it. See?
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah, little flowered stuff.
Yeah. I do like this, like, I just like the imperfections. I just like that you can see that a family lived here.
Selling the house, the childhood house, is hard. And I've driven by the old house. And it's hard because you can't walk in. You're like, that's somebody else's home now.
You feel like you're still coming to terms with it?
I think when I drive by the house, I'm coming to terms with it.
Were you able to mourn our house before you sold it?
I don't think I've ever mourned our house. I just think, like, I accepted it and that was it. Like, I didn't write a letter or anything like you did.
Before I leave my childhood home, I sit down and write a letter and leave it in the loose floorboard of my old room. Dear family of the future, I grew up in this house, and like any space that hugs your family as much as this house hugged mine, I'm walking out of it with appreciation. When my father married my mother, they moved into this house and his roommates moved out. My mother was an artist, but she was afraid to be an artist and instead became a wife and a mother. She had my sister first in 1980. A little mixed Asian American girl ran around this house, and then 10 years later, two little mixed girls would run around this house. I was the second one. I grew up in this house. I became the person I am today because between these walls, I made up dances with my friends in the big room to the left with the French doors. And learned how to make waffles by heart in the kitchen.
I learned how to put on makeup for the first time as I got ready for prom in the bathroom, and I applied for colleges on a computer that stood in the room where the back steps led to. I love this house, the people who came through these doors, and the events that took place between 1990, when I was born, and 2014, when I graduated from college. Please take care of it, and love it the way a home should be loved. And if someday a mixed Asian woman knocks on this door, that's me. I'm just stopping by to pay my respects. Always, Megan.
When I lock the door behind me, I'm leaving a chapter of my life inside. But for my mother, there's a piece of her that she's now just starting to discover. As I'm saying goodbye to my past, she's embracing a new future.
Here we are at the Aquatic Center, Columbus, Ohio, indoor swimming pool for water aerobics, walking through the door. Sandra, is that you? Oh my gosh, you made it again, and it's so cold outside. This is Sandra.
And for my sister, she just bought a house and is renting it out for herself. For my father, thanks to selling our childhood home, he's able to be financially comfortable and is now living in his own apartment. And for me, I'm realizing that you can sell your childhood home. You can live hundreds of miles away, but you'll always be family. And despite the distance, the ball is in my court to call them all up more often and tell them how much I love them. Editing for this episode was provided by Devin Taylor and Ben Severance. Justine Paradise provides production assistance. The voices you heard were my mother, Susan Tan, and my sister, Crystal Sherwood. Thank you both for being so supportive and open about our lives. If you want to see what our house looked like, go to millennialpodcast.org. There you'll see a watercolor of it, painted by my mother. To keep tabs on the show, follow us on Twitter at @millennialpdcst, Facebook or Instagram. Millennial is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp. Next up on Millennial.
And you said you weren't very political, but I would suggest that you are.
That's weird to me that, like, my choices are political.
What does it mean to be an activist in the big ways and the small ways? I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening. Millennial would like to thank Squarespace for supporting this episode. This year, Squarespace wants to help you set new goals, start a business, change careers, and launch a creative project. Create a website or an online store with an easy-to-use drag-and-drop template. My mom created a website using Squarespace to showcase her watercolors. You can see it for yourself at susantanart.com. Show the world what you're doing or what you want to be doing. Go to squarespace.com for your free trial and enter offer code MILLENNIAL, 2 L's, 2 N's, to get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Make your next move. Make your next website. Music. I don't know that much about it. The closest I've ever been to picking up a musical instrument was when I was in the fourth grade and I played the violin. So music is still mysterious to me. And when I leave a concert, I always feel like I have these questions. Like, what's the creative process like for musicians? Song Exploder is a Radiotopia podcast where musicians take apart their songs and tell the story of how they were made. You get to hear exactly how a song was put together by hearing the isolated parts of the recording one by one.
One of my favorites is the conversation that the host, Hrishikesh Hirway, has with Solange Knowles.
I'll cry it away. Don't you cry it, baby. Yeah.
I think that the don't you cry it, it's to feel like this sense of community. For me, specifically, don't you cry it, baby, is like your auntie rubbing your back, telling you to step up, get up, put your head up, you know, walk through this.
This month, Song Exploder is putting out its 100th episode. Celebrate Song Exploder's birthday by giving it a listen. Go to songexploder.net or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Radiotopia. From PRX.
Thanks for listening. And thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad serving platform to Radiotopia.